Joshua.
Yo, what's up, Carla?
It's been a while. How you doing?
Yo, I'm doing amazing.
Oh, stop lying.
Nah, I'm doing all right. I'm doing as good as, you know, come on. It's like the post-COVID apocalypse now. So everyone's kind of getting back to normal and getting used to the new normal. So
Josh, it's about to be 2 years from COVID. You can't use that excuse no more.
Question, what year is it?
2021.
You have to think about it.
Yeah, I had a shitty last 3 months. Hey guys, we're back. Sorry about that. Life's been shitty. I failed a class. Working full time, you know, vibing, just trying to get through it. So that's why we haven't recorded as often recently. But we out here, the thing about us is that we just keep coming back, you know?
Like, we're not going to leave. So, yeah, I got to get used to this. Like, low-key, high-key.
We're just in like, Hispanic time. It's okay, though.
Yo, we extra late to the party. The shit started at 7. Me and Carla showed up at, like, 11.
Yeah, 11:50. Really, everyone's getting ready to leave, and we just arrived.
So ya cortan el bizcocho. Everyone's ready to boogie. We just like, yo!
Yes. But who are we?
You know.
Okay.
I feel like I haven't done this in a bit.
I know. I'm very off with it. You guys are listening to WTF Latinx, the podcast where we talk about chancletas, food, tradition, culture, pop culture news, and most important of all,
you said it in the beginning. Chancletas. If y'all heard us before, you get it. You'll understand the fascination with the chancleta.
We have a whole episode somewhere.
The shit, it wields powers. Don't play with me.
It's weird. oh my god, I forgot how to record. Anyways, so we have very special episode planned today. Like, we've been talking about this. We've been wanting to record this for a bit.
Bro, literally, we talked about this episode idea maybe 3 months ago.
Yeah, we literally recorded the episode. And then we just never... It didn't come out the way we wanted it to. So we are back at it again. And we wanted to do it right. We needed more information. We needed more energy. We needed to, like, bring more to the table. So we're redoing this with more updated information. And, like, I'm excited. I also wanted to do... what's it called when they do, like, warning? There's, like, some explicit content in this episode.
If you're somebody that's dealt with domestic violence or has maybe past traumas with domestic violence, some of the things that we're going to be talking about might be triggering. So just, like, a trigger warning, like...
Trigger warning. Thank you. Yeah. There's trigger warning. We're also talking about a couple of, like, true crime cases. So I do have information about, like information about how the crime happened. So if you're also kind of like squeamish about that kind of stuff, maybe this isn't your episode.
But if you are and you do like this type of stuff,
welcome. Hi, I'm Carla.
What's good? It's your boy Josh.
We like this whole thing backwards, huh? Okay. Well, I am. Am I starting or are you starting? I'm starting.
I feel like you should start.
I'll start. I have so much information. It's nothing.
Not that I don't have, like, my case is also pretty lengthy.
Your case is good, but
Carla has the more interesting case because you know how it is.
Nah, I did a whole page on, like, what is this again? Like, Ni Una Menos movement first, and then I have the case. So I wanted to start there because I think that's where my interest in this case started, actually.
See, you're going to really educate me on this because I've heard of the movement, mm-hmm. but I don't know about the movement.
And I also have a lot of links or like a lot of places to credit. I'm going to start with niunamenos.org.ar. There's this page called artseverywhere.ca. I did start with Wikipedia just to get like the timeline of the cases, the case and like the movement information. And from there, I have information from Washington Post and from NPR. So I'll try to credit them as we go. Okay, so let's start with Ni Una Menos. What the fuck is that? Hashtag Ni Una Menos is a movement that started, that translates into not one less, meaning not one woman less. And this was a feminist movement which started in Argentina, which and then it spread to another a couple of different Latin American countries, which surprised me because I thought this movement started in Mexico. I know I saw a couple protests a couple years ago there for like the crimes against women and domestic violence. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even know this started in Argentina, first of all.
Shout out to Argentina.
Yes, shout out.
To the strong, beautiful women out there.
So this is a movement that started in Argentina in around 2015. And then it moved, as I mentioned, to Mexico, Puerto Rico, DR, all of these countries. What it is, it's basically a movement or a protest against gender violence. It's a collective case of like, where the protests are in regards to no more violence or to push or motivate the government to just do justice to women in different topics. This can include gender roles, sexual harassment, gender pay gap, objectification, abortion, sex workers' rights, transgender rights, and others.
That's valid.
Yeah.
That's real valid, especially in, I feel like, I don't want to generalize Latin America, but I feel like women have always been looked at as like, oh, you're the wife, you know, you're this, you're that. So I feel like those gender gap things probably aren't tackled as severely as they are over here. I don't know how it is. Maybe I'm wrong. I feel like in America, like women, I just definitely see women standing up for their rights a lot more.
I think it's not even about this is my personal opinion. I don't think it's about the women themselves. Mm-hmm. I think there's not enough resources and government support to do that. So, for example, here, you know, there's the whole thing going on with Texas and abortions and stuff like that. And people are against it. So, it goes up to Congress. And, like, I can only speak of Puerto Rico because that's where I'm more familiar with. But in Puerto Rico, like, women die every day, and then the cases go cold. And nobody knows anything, and the government doesn't do anything. FBI gets, like, involved. Nothing happens with those cases. No policies are done. No laws are done. It's just, like, goes cold.
And mind you, that I guess that's... I don't know what the government infrastructure is like in PR.
It's American. It's, yeah, it's federal.
So it's probably corrupted.
Oh, 100%. It's very corrupted.
Big patriarchy.
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel like it's probably like that in Latin America too, then.
Yeah.
Super patriarchal. And then I know a lot of those government systems down there are super corrupt.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, corrupt to the point where presidents are taking bribe money from, like, cartels and shit. Crazy shit.
Well, I would... Maybe so in different aspects, but, like, that's not what I mean when it comes to this movement in particular. It's just like they just don't care. And there's like the amount of women dying keeps growing and nothing is done. So it's to the point where like it's fucking infuriating. There's women dying. Like I remember seeing one of my YouTube videos doing the research. There's a girl that was like, there's a woman a week dying or showing up dead because their partners killed them. And everyone knows that their partner killed them. And they did it sloppy enough where there's evidence that proves that their like partners killed them.
We're the one that murdered them, but...
But it,
now, you're talking like Argentina, Mexico, like those South American countries, right?
Like all Latino, like if Dominican Republic, Mexico, yes.
That's wild.
Yeah, yeah. So, why am I talking about Ni Una Más? So it covers those cases, sexual harassment, gender cap pay. Where I've seen it the most impacting, like, in the case that I'm talking about today, I've seen a lot with transgender rights. There's a lot of people that are killed because they are transgender, and they're usually killed by their partners or their best friends. And I don't know why, but I did.
What's the motive behind that? Like, their partner is killing them out of what? Out of shame, maybe?
Not shame, but it's like they won't. It's like, oh, like, if you won't be straight, then you don't deserve to be. Yeah, yeah, like, oh, you won't be straight, then you don't deserve to live. Boom.
Let's not deep dive into that.
Yeah.
That's another topic for another day.
Let me tell you. Anyways. But. And so when I came across this, so it's actually kind of funny and it goes full circle. In 2018, which is around when you and I started doing the podcast, mm-hmm. And, you know, like, there was all the government struggles with, like, the governor. That was actually our first podcast episode. It was us talking shit because I was so mad of, like, everything was going on over there. Do you remember
Puerto
that?
Puerto Rico, yeah, with Ricky.
Renuncia Ricky.
Renuncia Ricky. Renuncia,
yeah. So when this was happening around 2018, there was a huge... the reason why people were protesting to get rid of him, if you haven't heard that podcast, is there's some text messages that were leaked from him, and it was him talking shit about transgender people. It was him talking shit about women. It was him talking shit about, like, just, like, people in general, and, like, saying how stupid the community was. So people, like, stood up to protest and wanted him out of the, like, Fortaleza, which is, like, our government, like, building.
It's interesting, porque, like, how are you belittling your
own people? The people that voted for you.
The people that are in charge of keeping you and putting you in power.
Literally. So, when this stuff was happening, I hadn't paid much attention then. But that's when I came across women that started to, like, paint their bodies and paint their faces in protest for, like, the comments that he had made about women.
We're still talking about Ricky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. The governor. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The government at the time. So he made a lot of negative comments talking about women and their bodies and being whores and things like that. So it gives you a perspective about how the men in power have a disconnect with community, with society, and, like, what the struggle of, like, women in these communities is. There's a lot of corruption, there's a lot of rage, and you start to see this, like, momentum build up where women are fucking tired. Women are tired of being insulted, of being told what to do. Women are tired of being treated as objects and not as, like,
human beings.
Human beings who deserve to fucking live.
That also...
Yeah, yeah.
Yo.
So this is when I started to take notice that there was, like, a movement going on, like, a unity. But, this was already a couple years ago, so...
See, I feel like, from my perspective, I don't engage too much in, like, Latin America.
That's why we had this podcast, because I had to force you.
I know. So I've never been made aware of movements on that side. At least, I've never sat down and dug into them, so it's crazy.
Well,
that's... I'm so used to, like, the movements here. Like, women's rights here.
And they're very politics similar. Here, but I don't know.
I feel like, for some reason, I feel like movements like that in Latin America that haven't gotten as much coverage.
They don't get coverage here because...
Not not at all.
No, they get coverage. They just don't get coverage here.
Which is why I'm so, like, alienated from that shit.
Yeah, yeah. We don't get enough information out of, like, what happens in other countries. But I think that's why, one of the, like, if you know us, you know we're, like, huge Bad Bunny fans. In Bad Bunny's music video... Yo Perreo Sol, I think it was. In one of the scenes, he had a neon light in the background that said Neo Namas. And it was, like, showing his solidarity with the movement of, like...
The transgender, or was it the...
Yeah, yes. There was a case, I think, around that time where there was someone killed who was a transgender. I can't remember their name at the time. But they were killed because they were transgender. And so, Bad Bunny made a music video dressing in female clothes. He literally transformed himself and then put Niu Namas in the background to show his support. And then I tried to find other artists that have done something similar.
Within Latin America?
Yeah, yeah. Like, to that extent. And I guess there was some Argentinian artist And there's a lot of graffiti art and that about definitely that says
Ni Una Más. A lot of beautiful street art, yeah.
But I couldn't find like pop culture, like I don't fucking know, J Lo or something like that, that would have made statements saying that they support the movement. So I couldn't find anything like that.
They probably have, but it like
como tú no dice, one. So that's the thing. No one. They probably have. No one reports it. No one makes articles about this because it doesn't matter to other people, and that drives me insane.
And that's why movements like that, sadly, slowly start to lose traction over time.
No, they lose traction here.
Or lose traction in the public eye. I mean, they still do the, they're still doing the thing behind the scenes, but it'd be nicer if more of us knew, especially people out here, like so we can engage and hype that shit.
The thing that it's hard for you to understand is that, like, you know how here you have, like, this is an example, Market Basket and, like, Washington Post, right? In Puerto Rico, you have El Nuevo Día.
That's it? Just one single newspaper?
No. There's that's an example. There's, like, two or three. They're all Spanish, though.
Okay.
The news that happened here, you don't find out in Puerto Rico. What you think is normal over there is, like, oh, never heard of it.
Yeah, but you think something as, like, global as, like, the marginalization of women would be kind of like, yo, let's... Hey, yo, this is still going on. 2021, you have governors and people in power.
It
like,
happened while Trump's presidency.
What are you trying to say with that?
I'm just saying that the media wasn't focused on what was happening outside. It was focused what was happening inside. But yeah, anyway, so that's the movement. It's a collective scream, and the campaign was a collective with the Argentinian artists, academics... and it's just generally now seen as a feminist movement of supporting women. There is an opposite view to this. Why?
Like an opposing view?
Yeah, so there's an opposing view that sees these protesters as femicides. Like feminazis, feminicides. And I should... What does that mean? Hashtag femicides, which is a sex-based hate crime term broadly defined as the intentional killing of women or girls because they are female.
What the fuck? That's your part of my language, people. That's kind
of... Yeah, there's a lot of, like, terms. Like, femicide is when you kill them because they're women, just because they're a woman. And then there's, like, feminazi, where it's, like, criticizing feminist women. And there's this whole thing of, like, men who are like, yeah, you should shut up because no one cares. No one cares.
That's not the vibe. Not at all.
It's a whole thing. So, okay, so that's what I have on that. I literally, like, there's so much more. There's so much layers. There's a lot of people involved in this in different countries. It's had a different impact. Like, I know, like, there was a lot of protests in Mexico. There was protests in Puerto Rico where people were, like, painting their bodies. There was a song that came out, like, a protest song, and it was, like, La culpa no era mía ni como vestía, el violador eres tú. I don't know if you heard it.
No, I have not heard it, but I have to hear it. I have to. I'm going to, like, listen to it after this. Question, like, where can people get more information on this movement? Like, do they have a website? Do they have an Instagram?
Yes.
Do they have social media? Like, other women out there that are listening in, like, if they want to, like, maybe get involved.
Get more information. Or just get information. They actually do. So, I mentioned at the beginning, but you weren't listening. So, it's called niunamenos.org.ar because they're from Argentina.
Okay.
And they have more information about who they are, manifestations, tools to use in, like, social media, lines for abortions, like, if you need help getting abortion and finding information for abortions, anything that you can think of. It tells you, like, the next, like, protest information, manifestations, assemblies, all that kind of stuff. So if you want more information, their website's actually really cool, and I like that they have tools to help you, like, even if you don't want to, like, if you're scared, but you need information about abortions or, like, things that are your rights, they have that on their website, too, which is cool.
Bet. So anyone listening out there, si tienen familia in Argentina or anywhere else.
No, yeah, world, yeah, they're definitely global. Like, yeah, yeah. You know, they're rooted. They start in Argentina, but they help everyone global.
I feel like sometimes those things might happen to a woman, and maybe they don't have the support or backing of anyone else. Maybe not even in their family or in their community. So it's dope that that's something that people could tap into.
Absolutely.
If they feel comfortable, you know, especially.
Okay. So, starting with my case. So, the case that I'm covering today, as I mentioned, there's a lot of graphic information here. So, viewer discretion is advised. Listener discretion is advised. So, some of the sources that I'm going to try to go one by one because I have so many. But the first two that I'm going to mention is NBC News. And Washington Post had an article which was named Boxer Felix Verdejo charged with killing pregnant women whose body was found, and it was by Andrea Salcedo. So I just want to credit her. And she posted this in May 3rd. She had the best information I could find, because no other American like source had any information about this case, which is very upsetting. But she came in clutch, and she actually had a lot of quotes about El Nuevo Día, which is the Puerto Rican news that interviewed the victim's mom. So it's very accurate, like, information. It's a really
good article. It's right from the source, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good source. Okay, the case of Keishla Rodriguez, because fuck her killer, Felix Verdejo. And that's my personal opinion.
Felix Verdejo.
Verdejo, like green.
No, he pussy, he pendejo.
Oh, okay.
Mine. Yeah, fuck that dude.
So, a lot of people have already heard about this case. This actually happened this year and around the time of April and May of this year. I wanted to start with. I think this is a very complicated case, and Jesus, did I do research, and there's so much more that, like, we're still waiting on it in regards to this case.
Like, Carla, let me tell y'all something. Carla really dug deep.
I have 4 pages of information. Anyways.
But, yeah.
So, when it comes to this case, it has become very popular because of who the accused person is, his name is Felix Verdejo. He was a very popular up-and-coming boxing person, athlete, whatever.
He's a boxing professional.
Thank you. And so a lot of people focus on him and what he, because he was a celebrity. But I wanna take the time to, like, go more from Keishla, from the victim's angle, because okay. I'm so fucking tired of him. Like, he doesn't deserve. Anyways.
I don't even know if you're gonna mention that. Forget.
Okay, so who's the victim? The victim is Keishla Marlene Rodriguez Ortiz. She was 27 at the time, and she was born in November of 1993, which made her a Scorpio. Yes, I googled that.
People, I'm telling y'all, Carla doing her research, man.
For no reason. At the time that everything went down, she was working at an animal grooming business, and she had 2 dogs and 2 cats that she loved very much, and she had adopted.
Qué lindo.
The accused person, his name is Felix Verdejo. They're both age 27, so they're both the same age.
They're literally, like, right around our age bracket.
Which is fucking terrifying.
That's absurd, like, to think about that.
So, Felix is a public figure because he was an Olympic boxer, and he went to the Olympiadas in 2012, which were in London at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's known as a lightweight, he's known as, like, a whatever, good boxer in the lightweight division. He was, like, the top of the top in that category. That was a bad line. So, at the time, he was married. Well, he's still married, I think. He's married to a woman, and he has a daughter. And at the same time that he's upholding his relationship, he also has a relationship with K. Keishla, who was the victim.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know there's people who are like, well, you know, that's an affair, blah, blah, blah. Nothing gives justification. Like, I will not fucking tolerate any, like, comments or anything in regards to, like, this woman's, like, life and death and what's happened in this case. But it also, I also want to include that this isn't, the things about domestic violence is, like, and, like, domestic, like, gender hate and, like, this case is, like, this is someone that she's known since middle school.
This is, like, a childhood friend. Like, he used to visit her house, so right?
This is the thing. They were childhood friends, and then they were high school sweethearts. So they started their
romance way before
when they were teenagers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, obviously, it's not my personal business, to, like, what happened in his 20s that he married someone else. But he'd been in a relation with her for about 10 to 11 years. So you were not in a relationship for 10 years and, like, think that your partner is going to kill you. Or, like, think that your partner is going to hurt you.
That's wild.
That's almost a marriage. Like, being, like,
since your kids.
That means she was, like, with him since she was, like, 16 or 17.
I'm pretty sure there's a break in there in between.
Yeah, where he probably met his wife.
And traveled the world and did his thing, but...
Yeah. But they've been together for a very long time. So this means, like, her killer is someone that she knew for many years. Someone that her family knew
for many years. Someone that she sat down and ate food with.
That she laid with.
This, like,
is someone, like, you know, you trust, you love. Like, he's not going to hurt me. And then in the middle of everything, yes, he was married, but then he had a daughter. So, next, I do want to credit this website called Newsweek. There's an article there by Brendan Cole. And that's where I'm going to... where I got the next information. I had to do a timeline. So, the way this happened was Thursday. She had spoken with her mom that morning. And they were talking about her pregnancy because she was at the time 2 months pregnant. Based on, like, some of the comments that she made to, like, the newspaper, it seems like the overall consensus is that Keishla had mentioned to her mom that she had an interaction with him. He knew that she was pregnant and he was not happy about it. And so that day, he had asked to meet, and her mom had told her, her mom warned her to be careful because he was a public figure and a married man, and she was expecting. So her mom already felt like there was something was going to happen in this regards, which really tells you where the tension was going in regards to this pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
So that Thursday, she spoke to her mom. She told her mom that this meeting was gonna happen. She doesn't show up to work. And when her sister calls and, like, her sister learns that she didn't show up to work.
That's a red flag right there. It's like,
yeah, that was the only trigger. She told her mom, and her mom lives in Orlando, and she took a flight that same Thursday. And went down to Puerto Rico to see what the fuck was going on. Which I respect so much because I feel like...
Bro, that is love, bro. That is
my first instinct is like, oh, if they're missing, it's like, oh... Like, I would wait a day or two. That mom instantly knows something was wrong.
You can feel it, yo. That intuition, that gut feeling, that connection you have with your child. Come on.
She absolutely knew. So, okay. So, that same day, that same Thursday that she didn't show up to work, the mom found out and she flew down to Puerto Rico. And then she was reported missing. No one knew of her. She just didn't show up. She wasn't in her house, blah, blah, blah.
Just, like, randomly. Just literally vanished.
Yeah, literally. So, this is some information that I have from that article. That same Thursday that she didn't show up for work, according to a witness accomplice of Felix Verdejo, the boxer,
mm-hmm.
this is what we now know happened that day, that Thursday.
Okay, this is like fact, like
yeah, like this, like the police
this,
already.
This is after this. Testimonies.
Yeah, yeah. This is straight from the accomplice.
And forensics. Oh, okay. Oh, we got a chota in the house. Shout out him. Something.
So he cooperated later with the authorities and said that Verdejo contacted Rodriguez, so Keishla, and he arranged to meet with her near her house. She walked into his car, and moments later, he punched her and injected her with a syringe filled with some substances, is what court records state. We don't know what those substances are. I don't know if the court knows. There's a lot of rumors. There's like a cocaine type of substance.
I don't think they've written the
test. If they have, it's probably like case, like... They can't say it publicly because it's part of like an open case.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But he injected her with something.
Gosh.
Isn't this fucking crazy?
Yo, that shit is spooky.
She was 2 months pregnant. So he hit her. He injected her. Then, this is all alleged, just in case. Let's see. Then, the witness says that they tied her. After they injected her, they tied her up. They tied her hands, they tied her legs, and let me see. Wait. They tied her neck, hands, and feet and attached her blocks to that.
This is the part I find crazy right here.
Yo. At that point, the witness said that he took the victim's keys and drove her to the Teodoro Moscoso Bridge, which is the bridge where her like body was found later on. At that point, they drove to that location. Verdejo shot her, and then she was thrown over the bridge.
He shot her? Does it say whether he shot her?
It doesn't say.
Okay.
No. But, oh, actually, no, yeah. He stated that once at the bridge, he just shot the victim and dumped her at the lagoon. Bro, so, he hit her. He injected her. He shot her. He tied blocks to her and then threw her off a bridge. Bro, she was a bag of shit.
Bro, think about how evil and sadistic you have to be. Like, this is thought out, premeditated murder.
Yeah, that's thought out. And it wasn't even thought right. Because rule number one... What is this? The fucking 60s? How are you gonna tie her to a block? I'm sorry. I don't know if it's because I watch too much true crime, like, podcasts and stuff like that. There's a state here. And this is completely off topic. I apologize. There's a state or, like, a river or something. I can't remember what it is. Where feet float up the ocean.
Yeah.
I think it's... Is that New York or something?
I think remember. So.
And... It's every day just loose feet like float up the ocean. And detectives have said that it's because like people who commit suicide in the bridge later on, like their bodies are in the water. And as you're decomposing
your feet,
your like limbs literally disconnect from like the torso and float
up. Yeah.
So I'm just like.
Well, this is how you know that this man is just like, he literally probably...
It's thought out, but it's not even thought out.
No, it's not even well thought out. But the fact that he was able to like sit down and say, okay, I'm going to drive to her house. He already prepped this. He somehow found this like magical fluid to knock her out.
He did, yeah.
Like that's fucking thought out. And then he already had a plot. Like he thought this shit was some old Italian mobster movie.
Where they
literally tie a cinder block bricks to somebody's foot and then dump them in the river.
Yeah. Like a movie.
That shit is wild. But this is somebody that, like, this nigga was with, bro.
For 10 years.
Like, and mind you, this is over a pregnancy.
Yeah. So, I did, in a couple of videos that I was looking at, I did see there was different rumors with this case. And there's a lot of speculation as to the reasoning why. Obviously, he was not happy about the pregnancy. There was a rumor that he, before all of this, he did try to hire someone to make her abort or, like, you know, like, hit her or, like, something to like,
this is fucking
end the pregnancy.
Yeah.
So there was rumors that he tried to hire someone for it, and then people denied him. So that's why he took matters into his own hands.
But like, he didn't take the hint at first, where, like, you're hiring hitmen. Hiring alleged hitmen to...
And they say
to
no.
To kill your girlfriend, and they say no, because even they're not cold-hearted enough to be like, nah, that's your pregnant girl. Like, we know you've been with her.
For 10 years. And anyways. You,
like, that shit's wild
to me. Yeah, there's a lot of rumors and speculation with this case, so that's why I'm trying to, like...
Like, looking at it from outside looking in, it seems like the embarrassment of him having, like, a scandal or a cheating scandal was too big in his mind that he had to, like, erase the problem.
This is what I don't understand, and this is why
I'm... And he just ended up creating an even bigger problem.
How is, like, a cheating scandal so big in your head that a murder seems
is the only way to solve that shit? Yeah, like, bruh.
I don't, like...
Like, scandal, murder.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take the scandal.
Yeah.
Ladies.
No. We're not doing that. So Thursday she disappeared and he called her over and injected her and tied her up and all of that. So Saturday, I'm sorry, that was Thursday. Friday, the following day, her car was found by the police, and there was, like, camera surveillance showing that he was at the bridge and that he had moved the car, and then there was a car that was similar to his. So it's, like, positioned him in the area that... I believe the theory was that he got her on Thursday and then he, like, hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday morning he was trying to get rid of her. So, like... Thursday afternoon, that is when he hit her and he injected her, and he was driving around with her in a trunk. And then at around 8:30 a.m. was when he dropped her in the river so there wouldn't be people who would see him.
Bro, that shit is gruesome.
Yeah.
Like, you literally driving around, like, running errands, doing shit, possibly with your kids.
Yeah.
With a dead body in the trunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what in the Scooby-Doo? Like, what?
The Scooby-Doo.
This brother's crazy.
But anyway, yes. So, as soon as this case came out, especially because he is very popular, as soon as his disappearance and his name...
Yo,
his name was obviously the first one to come out, because if, like, I'm a mother, if I'm a friend, if I'm a cousin, and I know that my cousin's been, as an example, my family member who's a female... has been in a relationship for 10 years with you.
With one person.
And she suddenly disappears. And you, the person who's been here with her for 10 years, ask us. You act like you don't care or like you're not involved. Who am I going to think did it or know something about it?
Your question. Now, while you're doing research, did anyone ever talk about, like, who else knew about the pregnancy? Like, has she already told her mother, her cousins?
She told her mother, but her sister didn't even know yet.
So she was really keeping it hush-hush. But yeah. So that explains, that kind of tells me, that's real telling. That's why her mom definitely took off as quickly as she did.
Yes.
Because she probably already, like, oh, damn, she was pregnant with this dude's kid.
And then nobody else and knew, then so nobody else cared.
Nah, yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot there. But yeah, so... Friday, the car was found, and then there was surveillance about him around 8:30, being in that area with both cars. I don't remember what happened Saturday. I believe that, like, that's when protests and, like, the news broke out, so there is a lot of, like, police, like, covering the area, and I remember seeing everywhere in the news, like, people asking for, like, justice. And I saw in the news live when they found her body. So her body was found that same Sunday, May 1st. It had appeared, it floated up.
Obviously.
Of course, in the lagoon. And later on, her body was identified via dental records. The protests continued at the bridge, and basically she was, like, the third one that month that was found dead by, like killing of a partner. So the fact that, like...
That was a third woman that month.
Yeah.
But her case was high profile enough
to because where of actually, the partner.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people were infuriated, not because... Like, yes, she's an innocent victim, and she was pregnant, and she was just, like, loving, beautiful human being. But also, it's like, she just had to be this public for people to care, because... And people were so enraged that's like, this is just happening on the regular. Like, this shouldn't be the normal. Like, why are we allowing this to be the normal? It's super wild.
Not damn. Something I was thinking about. Si es un hombre, if that's a man that has money, tiene una carrera, has shit going for him, that's physically abusing his partner. It even led to, like, murdering her. Imagine, like, someone that's, like, poor and frustrated and what kind of crazy shit they're doing to their partner.
Yeah.
Like, unnecessary shit just because they're maybe lacking in their own career.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's Which a lot of that. And it just goes wild. Under... It just goes under the rug, honestly. But yeah, so her body was found on Sunday. And then later on... So her body was found Sunday, May 1st. And then 7 days later, on May 8th, she was buried. And it was a very public...
Burial,
and a lot of people from the island just, like, went to, like, support the family, and a lot of people were involved.
Nah, that's tough, bro. So my prayers go out to the family.
Yeah, absolutely. In regards to the follow-up, the reason why I wanted to cover this case beyond the obvious is, like, there's just something about a man that thinks that he has the fucking nerve that just, like, She had a whole future ahead of her. Like, she didn't even get to experience being a mother. He took everything away from her. And then he has the audacity to, like, play being the victim. Like, I don't care for him.
We don't believe you, bro. Like, no.
Most of that information about, like, what happened that day, I did want to credit again from the Washington Post, Andrea Salcedo. Like, her article was amazing. And then, let's see. One sec. Okay. And then, following up, it's been hard to find, like, more updates in regards to this case because it's still open.
It makes sense, though. I think the next proceeding is when?
December. Yeah. And I'll cover that, yeah. So the latest information I found is Felix Verdejo, he pled not guilty in May 11 of 2021. So, like, a couple of days after her burial, he said he was not guilty. He did, when his warrant went up, he did go in voluntarily to the police. But he's pleading not guilty, so I'm not sure what's happening there. And this is based on SB Nation Bloody Elbow boxing news by Tim Bissell. So basically, on May 3rd, he was charged with kidnapping resulting in death, carjacking, and resulting in death and killing of an unborn child. So those were the charges that he was given. Everyone obviously believes that he murdered her because when she revealed that she was pregnant, because he didn't know what to do with it.
That's all the motive you need right there. If you ask me.
Yeah, literally. And after he entered his He's pleading not guilty, and after he entered his plea, he was informed that he will now remain in prison in Guaynabo without bail until trial. Jeez. If Verdejo is found guilty, he faces the possibility of the death penalty. Puerto Rico does not have the death penalty as like in the space, like, it's not a state, but. Mm-hmm. But because this case, I believe it was like being managed federally.
So because it's a federal case, it is eligible for the death penalty.
For the death penalty. Okay. Yep. So he had been arrested, and the FBI is involved in this case as well. Let's see. And obviously, you know, during everything, I forgot the one of the biggest things is, so Verdejo, like, kidnapped her and drugged her, but to get rid of the body, he did call, like, an accomplice to help him. Mm. And we know all this information because, as you mentioned, the Chota, obviously spoke up when talking to the detectives. So, let's see. They're just reviewing the same case, I already know. But yeah, so he, Verdejo had signed with Top Rank. I don't know if that's supposed to be like a boxing company.
Yes, that's like a promotion company.
Okay. However, the promoter has scrubbed any mention of Verdejo from their official site and promos for upcoming fights. So while this is happening, I guess his promo organization isn't speaking of him. And then, yeah, as of then, we're basically just waiting for the next hearing, which is coming up on December 17th. So in the next, like, month and a half, we'll see what's happening with that. Until then, we're just, like, following up with this case, and fuck him.
Yo, that shit is, like, bro.
Yeah.
Like, how can you do that to somebody you love? How do you even go about, like...
You know what? What's another thing that really fucks with me? He definitely needs some sort of psychological evaluation. He definitely needs some psychological evaluation because he has a daughter.
Yo, think about how that's going to be so conflicting for his daughter growing up. Like, I don't know the age of the daughter.
Me neither.
But, like, imagine growing up, building a memories of your father, and you have this perception of him being a good guy.
Oh, he killed this woman because she was going to have a kid, but I'm
that
a kid.
That must be so traumatizing.
Like,
bro.
I would have had a sibling. Yeah, that's...
Like, and kids don't be... Kids are mad innocent, bro. You don't see all that other shit.
No.
But...
It's fucked up. I did want to mention... I wanted to definitely give a shout-out to YouTube accounts. As I mentioned...
Carla had the good videos.
Yo, honestly, YouTube and, like, just, like, media in general doesn't really do a lot of Latino news. So, True School Sports YouTube channel and Natalia Garcia YouTube channel, they spoke about it in a more humanly way so we could understand it. Me understand it when I was doing the research. So, definitely go and check them out. And, yeah. I took over that.
Yo, Carla went off. That's why we had Carla go first, because my story is still developing.
Mm-hmm.
It's involving another boxer, sadly, from Puerto Rico.
Which is also another reason why we wanted to do this episode, is because, like, my case happened in May of this year, and then Joshua's case happened...
Literally, like, around...
August.
Like late August.
Yeah. I remember seeing it live. I sent you the Instagram.
Literally, it was crazy to me. Because first off, I didn't know much about Juan Manuel Lopez Rivera. Or Juanma. As they know him in, like, the professional boxing
world.
But I believe his ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
Was on Instagram. I remember this because me and Carla were just kind of like surfing the web that day.
Yeah.
And this girl had she'd gone live and started exposing her.
You want to know something? This is how funny life is. So I'm never in Instagram. And I saw someone post, "If I die, Juanma did it," or something like that. And I was like, what the fuck? It was this girl that I went to high school with that I didn't even know like that. So obviously I clicked on her Instagram post and she had the girlfriend tagged. And obviously, it's really hard to get news from here, from Massachusetts, with, like, things that are currently happening.
They're happening in PR, yeah.
Yeah. So, that girl that I went to high school with, she's still in PR. So, I click on it. I go to this girl's Instagram, and I look at the stories, and it's all about your case. But that's how we get the news.
Literally, like, straight, you know... someone like, that we know from the islands or from another country is like reposting it.
And that's how we find out. And
that's
out
how we kind of find out. Or found out about this one specifically.
Yeah, yeah. That's honestly, that's how we found out most of the stuff that happens in the island, because there's nowhere else to find that kind of info. Which is wild, but yeah, so we saw the information, I sent it to Joshua, and they were so close in time
that we felt like we had to talk about it, because Juan Manuel is also another featherweight boxer. So there's something about the featherweight.
I don't know, like, what drugs are there's something them, about
that division allegedly, but like these dudes is just woman beaters. And in her Instagram post, which is initially what got Juan Ma like arrested.
Mm-hmm.
She goes into detail, like kind of giving us, you know, the stories about storyline about their relationship, and how she's kind of just fed up and sick and tired of like being abused and being just kind of tortured by this quote unquote her man and her lover and someone that loves her. So she really took that platform, Instagram specifically, to kind of like to open up that space and to be vulnerable with the whole entire world.
I love it.
And showing women like, hey, I'm not going to stay quiet. Like, this is not, I'm not going to be another statistic. I'm not going to be another victim that just stays quiet. And she said, fuck it, I'm ready to deal with the social media backlash. Because mm-hmm. a lot of his fans, Mucho de los Fanáticos there, have been attacking her, bullying her on social media, that's calling her a liar, saying that that's a lie. And then in that same Instagram story post, she has her face, like...
I want to describe it. So basically, the way I remember it is the first post was like a picture saying that, like... This was by Juanma, something like that.
This is what your champion did to me. This is what...
Yeah, yeah. This is what your... Literally. This is what your champion did to me. And it was pictures with her face bruised up where he had hit her. He had punched her eye so bad that it was swollen and purple.
Bro.
And then,
like, just thinking about it, man. Like, como así, like.
Yeah. And then the next picture was saying, si yo aparezco muerta mañana, Juanma lo hizo.
And then,
meaning, if I show up dead tomorrow, Juanma is the one that killed me.
Boom.
Which was so shocking to me. I think that's the first story I saw. And I was like, I thought my high school friend was going to, like, someone was happening to her. And because it was so shocking to see that. So the next few Instagram posts, there was more pictures. And there was something in particular I was like fucking shocking. Bro. You want to say it?
No, you can say.
So one of them was a video that at some point, like, I don't know what's wrong with him. He needs psychological evaluation. But it was a video where he was beating her up. And in that same video, he was insulting her, calling her a bitch.
A whore.
And of the lines, he said that he wanted to kill her. And
no, he said that he was going to kill her.
That he was going to, yeah.
Like verbally, literally threatened her life, said, yo, I'm gonna kill you. You're cheating on me. You're a whore.
And this was all on Instagram. And I was seeing this live at work. Like, I'm like here in the middle of fucking nowhere, not knowing what's going on. My Instagram's like the notification just keeps going on. I keep sending it to you.
I don't think I hadn't really noticed what was going on because I'm at work too. And I hadn't been on my phone that day. So I think when we met up later that day is when, like, we told me, you're like, yo, have you seen those videos I sent you? And I'm like, nah.
I found out before, like, my regular, because I follow podcasts and, like, radio, like, speakers from Puerto Rico to, like, know the news and stuff. And I knew about it. And then hours later, he posted about it. So he reposted, like, her stuff and made it, like, an art, like, a blog or something like about a post. It.
Yeah. It's crazy how slow that this case got coverage. Because I feel like that first couple days, I kept looking. And there weren't any media places covering it. Besides a couple places on YouTube.
Yeah.
And on the television network out there in PR is called WAPA, I think.
WAPA, yeah.
And like, había un poco, like a couple videos but here and there. But like, it really got no traction.
No.
And it was just like slander on her. Like, people were slandering her.
So I was just going to say that when everything was happening, I think she tagged him. So I went to his page by her tags.
And that's when his shit went blank.
So originally, he had all of his last pictures were with her. So it was them kissing, it was them like holding hands and like looking like a really happy couple. But all the comment sections, of course, were like blocked, so people couldn't comment. And I think I read later on someone being like, this is why you don't believe everything that you see on the internet. Some people would say that they were a happy-go-lucky like couple. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Who were so happy and always like onto each other. When behind closed doors, like, you don't really know what's happening.
Bro, it's... That shit is scary.
Yeah.
That shit is super scary. To, and, like... It, when you take shit for I say, like, face value. Mm-hmm. Like, you really don't...
And so, one of the reasons, too, that she decided... So, that evidence had been happening for a while, and she had broken up with him. And I think she had said... All of this, I'm saying from the Instagram,
she,
too.
She had, actually... she did say that... I remember her saying that she felt like he, like you said, he had psychological problems, had problems with anxiety. Yeah. He was a chronic cheater, so siempre era, he was always infiel to her. He was also, which is sad, is like this dude is insecure, an alcoholic, and was also just depressed, and then on top of that was crazy aggressive and controlling.
That's not my problem. The way yourself is not my problem. The way you feel about yourself does not justify you putting a hand on me or any other fucking woman. That's like, because you're a piece of shit doesn't mean I have to deal with it. And there's always like...
Like, of course there's layers to it. And yeah. I'm not going to justify this dude's actions.
No.
But like, somebody in this man's life treated him like this.
Yeah.
Like, they abused him. They made him feel worthless, and maybe he's projecting. Yeah. I'm not a psychologist.
No, yeah. But I think a huge thing about this case, as we mentioned, like it's still going, like it's still
young. Like process. Literally, I think the last time we got an update was September 20.
Yeah, so like a month ago.
Yeah, and then on September 8th was when he was arraigned, and that's when the judge kind of brought him in, and I believe the judge le dio. Hold on, let me find this real quick.
No, but I was going to say something else. Something interesting to me is that, like, she kept her mouth shut for a very long time because she said, like, it was going to change. You know, like, what they always say, because you love this person, you want them to change.
It'd be feisty, but it's hard.
And she said that his fans were, like, calling her a gold digger and saying that, I think they broke up and people were, like, slandering her because she broke up with, like, I don't know who broke up with who, but saying that, like, she only wanted him for his money or something, so that now, like, that's why she left him, because she can't get what she wants, like, very nasty stuff, and, like,
when I think like, after that, that's when she dropped the videos.
Yeah, right? But she was so tired of the bullying that, like, she wasn't, and really makes you think, like, she probably wasn't even gonna expose him like that, but the pressure of his fan base was so much that it brought her to, like, she just wanted to, like, people to stop bothering her.
Which, like, sometimes you gotta show the truth.
Yeah.
Like.
And it was a whole scandal. So this is the thing, too, is, like, Juanma, I know you're not from Puerto Rico, but, like, everyone knows Juanma. Like, Juanma's, like, a little bit older, too. Like,
he's 38 years old.
38. He's a 38-year-old boxer, which is, like, that's, like, a dinosaur in, like, boxing years.
Yo, he's taking one too many blows to the head. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, literally. So Juanma's, like, been on the scene for a very long time. And because he's lasted this long, you know, people start, like, giving, like, oh, I respect you because I know of you. I know of your wins. I know how you represent.
And mind you, like obviously, I don't know if anyone listening is a boxing fan, but Puerto Rico has a lot of very renowned boxers, boxing families.
It's a big sport. It's like, boxing in Puerto Rico is like football here.
Football in America, yeah. It's like, yo, it's a way out for kids out there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just kind of crazy. So, and I don't know if you covered this, but one of the things that she was talking about was like his friends. She's saying, like...
Oh, yes.
Their enablers and stuff.
Oh, she kind of, like... She even exposed his whole friend group. Like, hey, this man's hanging around friends that are probably actively beating their wives, too. Mm-hmm. Because she... I think she said that he hit her mm-hmm. in front of the friend group one time.
And they just laughed.
And they just kind of laughed it off. Like, oh, yeah, that's what she deserves. So you can already tell that this dude's around the most toxic friend group. And that toxic, it's that, a lot of machismo, a lot of like, oh, women are less, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
Like, you guys aren't objects. You're human beings.
Yeah. I don't, yeah. It's fucking disgusting, man. And again, there's just something about the fact that we have two cases in less than 4 months back to back of each other.
You know, they're both boxers from Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
there's something going on. And the justice system has to do something.
You know what's sad though? I feel like these aren't the only two boxers doing this.
Oh, absolutely
not. And there's a lot of shit like that goes on with professional athletes.
Which I think this is why it's so important to, like, what's her name? What's his?
Her real name is Andrea
Ojeda.
Ojeda.
What she did of exposing him on Instagram is so fucking important. It's so fucking important to speak out, and like, you don't have to do it publicly, but you have to tell someone, because if something does happen, if you have children, if you have pets, if you have like family, and you don't say and you don't speak, obviously I've never been in a situation like that, thank God, but I've been close to people who have experienced like domestic violence. Like, yeah. I have a boss that she told me that it took her a year to, he controlled her money income, so she would buy like extra dishwashing soaps, and when he was gone, she would returning, and she would save $1 at a time till she made enough money to leave him because of the way that he controlled her. So, but she told her sisters, she told like her family, like she devised a plan, like, and it's hard to leave those relationships alone, like, yo, please speak up, like,
that's please. That's definitely one of the things that kept being brought up in the interviews that I saw, was that a lot of women are more likely to drop a case because of economic fears, because they feel like maybe they won't be able to provide for their child without that person being in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, sometimes a lot of women, even after the cases go and shit happens, some of them even go back just because of that same fear.
The money.
And just not knowing where, especially if you have kids involved, not knowing if you're going to be able to, like, have a suitable place for your child.
And you have nowhere. And sometimes
you just don't know that there's programs out there.
Yes.
And that there's other women willing to help you.
Yes.
So if you don't know, that makes it even worse. It's just like, oh, shit, this man is maybe my only option out. I can't put him in jail right now, but, like, he's going to keep hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, like I said, if you don't know, you don't know. So if you don't know, you have those options. Like, yo, I can put them in jail.
But, you know, speaking up, like, even if you don't know, like, it can direct you towards, like, the right
person. No, hell yeah. Bro, the right person might even be drawn to you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wait, you're going through what? Hold up, I know somebody.
Yeah.
I went through that.
That's always how it happens. But, so, yeah, I'm sorry.
Nah. I feel like we literally went through a lot of what I wanted to talk about. The crazy part is about Juanma is that in 2015, he was also accused of domestic violence.
Allegedly.
By his ex-girlfriend. Hey, Jerry, you want to help me? Tell me what her name.
Geraldina
Crespo. And she suffered trauma to her nose. And when I was actually trying to like look up this case, I couldn't find anything on any U.S. blogs.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything in general. I had to do the Google search in Spanish just to find out that when this case initially happened, he was immediately put on like house arrest.
Mm-hmm.
There was an immediate like restraining order put on,
mm-hmm.
where he wasn't allowed to get next to her, and that was the only real article I found about that. Like, a lot of the intricate details, weren't available to me.
Mm-hmm.
I know that,
but that's huge, right? Because he has a history of abusing his previous relationships to the point where he got a restraining order.
It had a whole ankle bracelet.
How are you? Like, this man has a history of, allegedly, of doing this. Well, not allegedly.
It's court records. Like, he went to court for this.
He has a history of doing this, and you blame the girl?
Which is crazy to me, bro.
Like, makes me drive me insane.
I think one of the things I hate, and like I was telling Carla earlier, was that I think during this, Juanma at some point gives a speech with Telemundo where he's asking people of Puerto Rico and his fans to give her space, to respect her through this whole process. And then this man has the audacity to say that I love her very much. And I hope that this is in the hands of God and that our relationship continues.
Gaslighting.
Like, gaslighting to the max. Like, the manipulation is crazy. This is mid, like, the case hasn't really started, but it's kind of getting started. So he's already planting seeds, like, at least that's how I see it. He's planting seeds in her.
He's subconsciously trying to be like, I love like, you, yo, I'm sorry, love you. Don't take me to court,
don't do this. And I love how dudes want to bring God into the situation, like, after the fact.
Well, I was telling Josh, where was God when you hit her in the eye?
Where's God when you was, like, being on your wife?
Where was her God slut, like, when you were telling her you were going to kill her? Because it's recorded. It's evident. As you were beating her up, she was smart enough to get it recorded.
Yo, Thank God. Most women don't.
No. She was able to get that. It's like, this is stuff that came out of your mouth. Where was God when you were doing that?
It's wild. And I don't know if I mentioned it already, but since they started the proceedings,
mm-hmm.
The judge presented 7 charges mm-hmm. on him.
Mm-hmm.
One is for physical and emotional abuse.
Yes.
There's threats and damages to the property.
Yes.
Related to 4 incidents of domestic violence against her. And that's where we're at right now. Like, we're still waiting to see how this kind of continues.
Yes.
But
do you want to credit your sources?
Actually, I do want to credit the good people at Boxing Scene. Miguel Rivera published this article
September 20th.
Literally like a couple weeks ago. Monday, September 2021. And that was like the latest update that we've had. I also want to cite the good people at
El Nuevo Día. Oh my God, I used to read that. That's a Puerto Rican newspaper.
So El Nuevo Día gave me some good information. And I also want to credit the victim. Or not even the victim, because she's not a victim, because she's a powerful, beautiful queen that stood up and used her platform to speak against this dude. But Andrea, a lot of the information
Andrea Ojeda Cruz, she's a bad bitch.
A lot of the information we got was literally directed from her Instagram when the stories were up. So
yeah, we wouldn't know this case. We wouldn't know that's happening.
If she hadn't even like spoke out about it, bro. Like,
I think like her speaking up is just like
real queen shit. Like dudes have to know you can't keep doing shit like this.
No.
Like,
it's enough is enough. Like, we're fucking tired of this shit. But yeah. Okie dokie. Well, I think that's it for this episode.
You have any other...
No, not yet. I'm just happy that we were able to sit down and, like, cover these cases.
Mm-hmm.
This
is mad random, but shout out Bad Bunny.
This is fucking random.
Because when Carla's... when the person involved in Carla's case, what's his name? Pendejo dude.
Yeah, Pendejo dude.
I think Bad Bunny had shouted him out in a music video.
Yes.
And Bad Bunny was real enough to like,
the case came out,
as soon as he heard about that and what was going on, he was like, yo, I can't mess with this dude. So he was a popular pop artist that was quick to denounce it. He's like, yeah. Yo, I don't fuck with that. I don't stand for that. We not cool with that. So he took that off his, you know.
I don't know what you just said, but long story short, basically, Bad Bunny had a music video in which there were scenes where the boxer was involved, because obviously he was like
Puerto Rican pride.
He was an Olympian boxer. He was like this pride image. And when this case came out, I think what you're trying to say is... as soon as it came out, Bad Bunny actually took down the video.
Sister trying to fry me. I was trying to brush through that little
quick. Yeah, you were like, shoop. I'm like, what did you say? Bad Bunny took it down and removed him from the video and his association. Obviously, he doesn't stand for that. So, I always appreciate any artists that, like, stand their ground and, like, what they support. Like, there's something... I'm always going to speak highly about
Bad Bunny. Nah, I like
because
that.
Because I don't see any other fucking artist doing this.
Like, with him, it doesn't seem like a PR move.
No.
Like, yeah, it is a PR move, but also I feel like it comes from a genuine place where it's like, oh, nah, se cabrón, I can't fuck with him. Like...
Yeah. And again, like, I'm very excited that we did this episode. We've been meaning to do it for a very long time, but basically...
You know how it is, man. People, life... You know, stuff gets in the way.
Yeah. No, but not just that. Like, we see the patterns. Like, we see the patterns of, like, what's happening in today's society. And it gets me a little frustrated that I don't see anyone else talking about these things. But we're going to talk about them if no one else is going to talk about them.
No, that's a fact. And we're going to keep bringing shit like this to light. I'm gonna bring it on our platform. Okay,
I'm not no periodista or no paparazzi.
Nah, but
I'm just a girl googling shit. But let me tell you, everything we need to know is there. You just have to sit down and care enough to find the information.
You feel me? So.
But yeah, we're here. We're back. We love you guys. And until the next one, bye.
Yes, sir.